We build on foundations we did not lay. We warm ourselves at fires we did not light. We sit in the shade of trees we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig. We profit from persons we did not know, and we are ever bound in community. These are the words of the Reverend Peter S. Rabel, who was a Unitarian Universalist minister. He paraphrased them from the Hebrew book of Deuteronomy. This morning, I would like to tell you about some of those who built the foundations on which I have stood, and those who dug the wells from which we drink as part of this Unitarian Universalist community. First, I want to tell you about an old church building in Chicago. On the near north side of Chicago, a few blocks in from the high-rise condominiums and mansions that can see Lake Michigan from their windows and from the boutiques of the Magnificent Mile, there used to stand a tall, Gothic-style church. A Unitarian congregation built it in 1867, later named the Second Unitarian Church. Its members had wanted a church closer to home, as the First Unitarian Church was several blocks to the south. And in the 1860s, that was a hike. Also, they did want to reach out into the North Division community. The church's founding minister was a blacksmith from England who had been expelled by the Methodists for heresy. 4 years after construction of that church, in October of 1871, was the Great Chicago Fire. The fire lasted 2 nights and a day, and it was extinguished only by rain, but only after burning down 17,000 buildings and making 90,000 people homeless, one-third of the city. Church members lost their homes and businesses and jobs. On the Sunday following the fire, they gathered at the ruins of their church. The Reverend Robert Collier spoke to his people, but he spoke also for the whole city. First, he said, we have not lost our geography. Nature called the lakes, the forests, the prairies together in convention long before we were born. And they decided that on this spot a great city would be built. And the great city was rebuilt. And so was that church in a year. The denomination helped, but the congregation did most of the work themselves, giving money and raising money, even though many of them had been devastated. What a daring thing to try to do after such heartbreak. They did this for themselves, but they did it for the city as well. They did it for the spread of human dignity and reason, for a growing embrace of nature and the lakes, forests and prairies that sustain all creatures, and for the belief that our deeds matter more than our creeds. Also, they dared to rebuild for people they would not know, adults and children who would show up years later seeking a new faith. I was one of the seekers who would later show up at that church over a century later and in a different location. A few decades after 1871, the congregation moved. They replanted themselves a few miles north in a residential neighborhood, Lakeview. Now that area is home to many theaters, eateries, bars, art galleries, and the heart of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, and the Chicago Cubs of Wrigley Field. Second Unitarian holds coffee house concerts, works on affordable housing in the community, hosts 12-step recovery groups, feeds the hungry, and enjoys lively worship and music. It's a gem of a church of brown bricks, green and white stained glass, and polished wood floors. I danced on those floors, at a Mardi Gras fundraiser. I learned to sing in the choir there. I bid against my friends in the spring auction. As board president, I stood at the podium up front letting the church know about a budget shortfall. In worship one Sunday morning, I lit a candle after my mother's death. I left Second Unitarian for California to begin my first ministry. I'm so glad they rebuilt that church after the Chicago fire. Around the time of that church's founding, here in Sacramento, a group of 17 families joined themselves as the First Unitarian Church. That was 1868, when this region was booming after the gold rush. The Reverend Charles Gordon Ames was our Unitarian missionary. He preached in San Jose, Monterey, and Sacramento, traveling to look for liberal seekers, often sleeping under the night sky in his buggy. Yes, his carbon footprint was made of horse manure. When this new congregation met for services, we met as guests of others. We rented space at locations like the Metropolitan Theater, the Pioneer Hall, but my favorite is the lodge of a fraternal order called the Knights of Pythias. They call their lodges Pythian castles, so we met in a castle. Our congregation's history book says the choir at the time was an efficient choir, two men and five unmarried ladies, and Miss Gertie Gerrish presiding at the piano. From 1868 to 1915, this was a wandering tribe of Unitarians in downtown Sacramento. Then it all changed. The religious liberals of the Sacramento Valley made their decision to stay put, to put down roots. With $4,500 inherited or given, they bought land in 1911. In 1912, they revised their bond of union, what we call a covenant. Now it would say, "We associate ourselves together as a religious society for mutual helpfulness in right living and for advancement of sound morals and liberal religion in the community. And we hereby pledge ourselves to bear our part in the common cause and to care for the welfare and influence of the organization." And then they planted themselves in Midtown, in a building, with a building at 1415 27th Street. They finished the building in 1915. It was like a house with a front porch framed by cedar log posts. Inside, rolling partitions joined the social room and the meeting hall. An article from that year in the Sacramento Bee said, "The church is constructed of cedar shakes with brown stained woodwork inside. The windows are of amber glass in simple leaded patterns. A big fireplace of mission tile makes the social room the coziest part of the church. The structure cost $8,000, the article said. Adding to that, the cost of the land, the total calculates in 2014 dollars to almost $300,000. Of course, this year we need to find $1 million more to make our current home larger, more inviting, and energy efficient. But the difference is that 100 years ago, this congregation consisted of only 42 members instead of almost 400. They made the choice to plant themselves in the community in this growing, expanding region. They dared to do something great for themselves and for the future. Next year, 2015, will be the 100th anniversary of when the Unitarians of the Sacramento Valley said, "We are here to stay." They did this for themselves, but also for those who would come after them including you, including me. They built a religious education building next to that house-like church, and they grew. After the Second World War, they grew more, and this region expanded so much that they decided to find new land on which to plant their community. In 1959, the congregation bought these 5 acres, and they began raising money and giving money and working on this bold plan of a building. The dedication ceremony here was nearly 54 years ago. In our UUSS files and archives, black and white photographs show Sunday services, children's programs, and adult education discussions from the 1940s and 50s in that old building in Midtown. In photographs from that cedar shingle house, men wear jackets and ties. Ladies wear dresses, and some of them with hats on Sundays. You can see the big smile of Theodore Abel, their minister, whose pulpit robe was given to me by his widow a few months ago. You can see many smiles in those photographs, as you would if you looked through a camera lens today during coffee hour, or right now in spirit play while they're doing yoga, or earlier this morning while the choir was rehearsing. Yet I can imagine those Unitarians had their own struggles, longings, and losses like us. They had self-doubt as well as confidence, just as we do in our own lives. And that is why they needed this home. That is why they took a bold step to plant themselves as a congregation in this region. They built a firm foundation. They welcomed people needing shade and companions on the journey of life and hope. We are bound up with all of them in this place, and we carry their spirits and their legacy as we move into our own future. Right now, the members and friends of this congregation are at a pivotal moment. We are daring to proclaim that we deserve a bold future as a community. We are daring to pursue our purpose in serving the community beyond these walls. And we are daring to build a home not only for ourselves, but for all of those who will yet find this place and find in this place a home. Imagine them giving thanks for what you and I have given them by our daring. Imagine one of them, or all of them, standing in this place 50 years from now or 100 years from now, thinking of us and saying these words: "We build on foundations we did not lay. We warm ourselves at fires we did not light. We sit in the shade of trees we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig. We profit from persons we did not know. And we are ever bound in community." So may it be. Blessed be. Namaste.
It's my turn. When Roger and I were thinking about putting this service together, we remembered a sermon series that he did last year called Daring Greatly. And I read that sermon over and reflected on some of what he had said. And it's available online for those of you who want to read it after our time together today. The point that came out of that sermon for me that affected me deeply was the idea of how daring greatly means being vulnerable. It means asking for something and believing that you're worthy of getting it. This resonated for me about my life path. The first half of my life, I never really set goals for myself. It was too scary to do that. I didn't really value my own needs enough. I was focused outward on helping people, but not recognizing how I was missing on serving myself. There's this aspect of setting goals that means that you have to want it. And I think I was afraid to want it. I was afraid to believe that some of the things that I long for could possibly come to me, afraid to ask for things. In daring greatly, it's important to believe that it's possible that these things that you long for can come to you. With the help of my therapist, I came to understand that I started seeing myself as this little seedling that had just kind of pushed itself out of the ground, but really hadn't grown very much, that my energy, the support for this little seedling was really just enough to keep it alive, but not enough for it to thrive. Daring greatly. In my early 30s, I found Unitarian Universalism. I came through those doors right there at the back of this sanctuary, those same doors that we complained about in 1989 because they didn't close very well. When I think about it, and some of the comments that have come from this pulpit, it's a brave thing to do to come here without knowing anyone. Every Sunday, there are people that come here for the first time. I came through those doors, and I don't remember whether I filled out any of the welcome forms. Now we have a question about, you know, what brings you to our church community. And I think if I had filled that out, I don't know what I would have said. I didn't know what I was looking for when I came here. I was an unmoored young adult. I just recently moved to Sacramento. But what I found when I came here was exactly what I was looking for, whether or not I could articulate it. I found a community of love and support. I found a place for that little seedling that I was to get nourishment, soul food, spiritual food. I found a place where I could risk, a place where I could grow. And so I entered the ministry, nurtured in love by this community and other Unitarian Universalist communities. And I remember when I went to seminary, it was very important to me to believe that Unitarian Universalism was worth my commitment of my life and my vocation. As a member of the church community, I certainly felt that, but thinking about committing my life to Unitarian Universalist leadership, I needed to have an answer to that question that I felt profoundly. Roger talked a little bit about church communities that he was involved with in Chicago, and we know that those stories are replicated in communities all over the United States and Canada. I learned in seminary of the courage and the actions of the people that came before me. I learned that we are a religion that relies on a mutual commitment to each other, rather than obedience to a creed or some supernatural force that is outside ourselves. I found in this faith the sustenance that I needed to risk and the love that I needed to find my own worth and the community relationships that I needed to establish myself and feel that I was worthy of a life that I dreamed of. Daring greatly. Roger shared with us about the history of this congregation, the courage and vision. Those folks carried that small seedling around Sacramento for 50 years, was it? Worshiping here, worshiping there, holding on to the dream. Finally making a commitment and planting that seedling on 28th Street. 40 people gathered. Can you imagine the excitement they felt about what the they were starting, what they were doing. And because of those people who planted that seedling and the people who carried it forward and planted a deeper tree here where we are now, our congregation has grown into a sturdy tree with broad branches. It's been tended and watered and loved for these years. But we can't be complacent. Those of you who have read the Unigram that came out this month heard from Maxine Cornwall about her feelings about our commitment to the future. She said she'd walked around the campus assessing it from the standpoint of a visitor and saw deterioration and wondered how this demonstrated our care for our community. She said viewing this made her realize that we've ignored our responsibility to tending this place. We had a vision, and have a vision now alive, that came forth a few years ago for a new vibrant era for our facility, for this tree of life that we've planted here. A shared vision for a vibrant new campus, unanimously approved in our master plan. And now we're challenged to fund the first phase of this vision, challenged to raise additional funds above and beyond what we thought would be enough. If you're feeling anxious or discouraged about this current situation, you're not alone. If you're feeling committed and positive, you have company as well in this community. In the book that Roger used as the resource for his sermon last year, Daring Greatly, the author Bren Brown made this statement about the meaning of daring greatly. She asked, "What things are worth doing so much that they're worth attempting, even if you fail? What things are worth doing enough that they're worth attempting, even if you fail?" Is our building project one of those things? At an earlier planning meeting for next steps in the process, I facilitated a meeting with individuals, leadership, and our building committee and our board. We shared our feelings going around the table, worries and anxieties about the challenge. And then I watched as one by one, each leader realized that giving up was not an option for our congregation. There are so many new people, programs, ideas, a vision to support, so much spirit to contain that we need a bigger and newer home to house it all. One by one, around the table, each person indicated his or her commitment to seeing this project through. What about you? This is a question and a challenge for all of us. Today, as we do every Sunday, we read together our values, and we say we value the love and courage that sustain us. Well, folks, it's time to draw on that love and courage that sustain us. The love and courage that can nurture this beautiful tree planted on that corner in 1915, brought forth. Time to nurture it for deeper roots, wider branches, taller trunk that can serve people in years to come who need shelter, sustenance, and the love that this community can provide. A place where that next searching person who doesn't quite know what they're looking for can come in that door and find what they didn't know they were looking for. Let us create a beautiful, empowering home, sustaining us for many years to come. Let this community dare to show up in our vulnerability, in our hopes and our dreams, to dare greatly, to say that this project is worth doing so much that it's worth the risk. Let us proclaim that we deserve a bold future that enriches us all. Blessed be and amen.